again, we have this, there's a connection between these two readings. If you look down deep enough where they meet. In this text from the prophet Haggai, we have this promise of God that my temple will be greater than it ever was before. You just heard it, right? When did that happen?
Jesus.
The resurrection. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And now he said this of his body. But that body is the source of our unity. We belong to that extended body. It's a glorious temple. Why is it glorious? Because there's so many holy people who make it up, who praise God day by day, hidden all over the world. You know, think of the fact, some of the most beautiful flowers in this whole globe are way up on the top of the mountains where nobody can see them but God. There are a lot of saints like that. So, you see, certainly when they read this text, when under Herod's temple, they tried to get excited. It was a splendid piece of work. It was not quite finished when it was destroyed forever. But the man was an Edomitean. He killed most of his family. I mean, it's not the man you want to build a temple. But the temple is the body of Christ. There's a line in here, right? How many times it says, take courage, Zerubbabel. Take courage, Joshua. Take courage, all you people of the land, says the Lord. And what were the next two words? And work. Now that you got courage, get going. Build the church. We do that by dying to sin and living to God, by loving and by letting people know who Jesus is. Build the church. It's a time of tension, we know, where all these bills are going to go, people forced against their conscience. Things could be very difficult. But the temple of God, which we are, will be glorious and attractive if we take courage and work. Nothing wrong with work. Here we have this text. You recognize the rhythm, I'm sure. This is Peter's confession of faith, followed immediately by a prediction of the passion, right? We saw it in Matthew. You can find it in Mark and here in Luke. In other words, that synoptic tradition is consistent, even though each one, as it is with oral tradition now being consigned to writing, there's room for different ways to develop, huh? Once when Jesus was praying in solitude, that's Luke, right? Luke often talks about our Lord's Prayer. If you went and counted them, you'd find there's a lot, many that are not printed right here. It doesn't say in the other two that Jesus was praying before he asked this question. He was, I'm sure. This is a crucial moment. Do they get it? No, he knows because he reads their hearts. But I mean, like, ready. Who do people say, you know, that I am? Luke. Son of Man is. Yeah, it's the same thing. And then, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah come back, some say you're not. Who do you say? And Peter is touched by this grace. And he confesses, and right away, okay, now you're ready to hear the rest of my Father's plan. The Son of Man will be betrayed, handed over, killed, and raised. And then there's always some sort of, they were afraid to ask him what it meant. They didn't understand what rising from the dead could mean. They didn't get it. You see that? I'm just trying to point out how it's a consistent tradition. And now we've arrived. We're in chapter 9. And we're just about ready to start on this Perean journey in Luke. You know, all the Gospels have a moment, they're synoptics. When our Lord leaves the north, and then he turns east, and he goes across the Jordan, and he goes down the east side of the Jordan, in Jordan today, and goes back across the Jordan at a place today like where the Allenby Bridge is these days, right there. He goes back across. At that point, as we're going to see now, Luke places a lot of material that is proper to him and also a lot of material that is found in Matthew, for instance, in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, Luke's got like 46 verses and Matthew's got 142 for the sermon. But a lot of that is it. Now, this is all the Holy Spirit, you know, distributing this material, you know, so that we'll get it. So we have now this turning point. Our translation says he rebuked them. That's true. The word is epithiman, but it doesn't mean rebuke so much as sternly charge them. Don't tell this to anybody. Why not? Can you imagine? Chatting, you know, and saying, you know, he told us he's going to get killed. No, this is my Father's plan. They will see it when it unfolds. But you, my friends, I'm forming you. You are the foundation of my church. You have to be ready. You have to understand. So do we. Have you noticed in your own prayer that little by little, you're understanding the scriptures better than you used to? Are you noticing that? That's the Lord getting you ready to be sure of yourselves when you preach the gospel. And so, this turning point, again, he knows why he's going to Jerusalem. And it's to give his whole life as a ransom.